الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته ولا أمة بعد أمته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين وقال تعالى ألا إن نصر الله قريب وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable brothers, friends in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a moment for every one of us to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His innumerable favors on the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and especially on the believing ummah, the people of Gaza, the people of Palestine, that the time that they find themselves in at the moment is a time of celebration. Celebrating not the peace, but celebrating a victory. It was in May when the enemy had announced that he had killed one of the commanders of one of the battalions, Abu Yahya al-Fayyad, and recently he had come out, made a statement addressing a gathering of people. This was actually a slap in the face for them, that someone with your intelligence you claim you have killed, from where has he come out and who is he addressing? Now that was amazing for them. They couldn't believe that he's still alive. So what is happening, what has happened, and what is and what will be happening is all a smack in the face for them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of whatever is happening around. Now His words were golden words. Why we would say that the moment that they are living now is a victory for the people of Gaza. He says, Al-qawiyu idha lam yantasir, fahuwa da'if. If a strong person cannot exert revenge, then he's weak. The person who has come with all his artillery, technology, weapons, armies of the world, and yet you can't crush a people you claimed it was a walk in a park, it means you're weak. And he says, "Al-da'if idha lam yuhzam fahuwa qawi." And if a weak person has not been annihilated and defeated, he has not been crushed, it means he's strong. The war of the weak, of the strong, was to annihilate and destroy, which he failed. And the war of the weak was to survive, which he is still surviving. So alhamdulillah, we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the victory of the people of Gaza. But we have to continue making dua for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here this is one war in one territory. And to understand that why the treaty that was signed now was a victory for the people of Palestine, we have to understand the past, then the present will be understood. If we look in timeline, then it was approximately 1799, when we are in 2025, 1799, did Napoleon offer Palestine as a state for the Jews. But if you look at the words that we always reiterated and said, that Palestine is a land for a people that has to be given away, because this is a land without a people. Na'udhu billah, they did not even consider the people of Palestine to be human. They consider them less than human, that they are not even worthy to be human. So that land is a land without people. it has to be given to a people without a land. This was 1799. Over the passage of time, a lot had taken place, the conference in Switzerland, etc., the coining of the term of Zionism, fast-tracked the entire thing, come to 1917. 1917 was the British mandate signed that this state will be given to the Jews. 1917 was it signed. And after that, the resistance that had taken place from the first Nakba, 1947, 1968, every one of them we see in the first Nakba, 1947-48, approximately 80% of the then Palestine, yeah, obviously now people call Israel and Palestine, but there was only one state. There was only Palestine. So that 80% of it was stolen, was taken away from the Palestinian. 80% 1947-48, that war. Then the second Nakba, Palestinian had run, there was a resistance of a few countries, the first Nakba 6, eventually 3, but if we have to look at all of it, it was a loss of a lot of land. And now, fast forward to 2023, and rather 2024, and 2025, we see that this war that has taken place was a victory for the Palestinian, contrary to the previous invasions and wars. This is one that's mind-boggling, that we come and bomb and you still return to your bombed homes. There's nothing left, and you see we're ready to reconstruct. What heart and courage these people possess after 15 months standing alone. No nation, no united nation, no person besides the Qudrat and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what we can comfortably say was behind their victory. So this moment that we find now, the victory of the people of Gaza, it's not the end of it. Now this is the moment, this treaty that was signed, which we call the truce, signed in January 2025, no change to the clauses of the treaty that was prepared and written by Al-Qaid Yahya Sinwar Rahimahullah Al-Shaheed in May 2024. The same thing he had presented to them in May 2024, they signed it now in January 2025. What has changed? The loss of mentality of the enemy. Which means that the Muslims come out victorious. We're not changing. If there's anything that the Muslims of Gaza have lost, yes, we have lost our blood, we've lost our land and stone, but we haven't lost our courage for resistance. If you come back, we're ready to stand. Now that courage, that spirit is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, we know, little bit looting, we waiting for one private jet to leave KZN. Where can we go? Maybe Western Cape, maybe somewhere else. We know how buzdil we are. You know how coward we are from within. So this is the time we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the flag of the deen of Islam is still flying high in the lands of Gaza. Lesson for every one of us. What lesson do we take from what's happening around? The lesson we take is may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the generosity of heart like how they have. Irrespective of the situation, whichever hostage is coming out is speaking about the good treatment in the tunnels or in Gaza. The good treatment. Contrary to what is happening to the Palestinian prisoners in Israel. What a stark difference between the two. So that was a people that understand that we are governed by the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us even in warfare? in warfare, when we are in the battleground, how do we behave? And number two is, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that courage, that we be strong in our deen in a land of peace. In a land of war, those people in Gaza were strong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that courage, that strength. We don't have to stand facing the bullets. At least stand in the first saf, facing against shaitan. We don't have the enemy coming with his tanks, coming with his weapons to kill us. We've got only shaitan and nafs attacking us. And this war, if we are falling down in the simple war day to day, how are we dreaming about the victory of the broader ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When a simple war against nafs and shaitan, we falling down. If we look at the crowd in the Jumu'ah salah, and the crowd in the very next salah, the Asr salah, what happened to that same ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Look at 27th night of Ramadan, 29th night, where the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes out in droves, in scores, in numbers, in crowds. And what happens to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the very next day of the Islamic calendar? So this is a lesson that we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The courage you gave the people of Gaza, Ya Allah, give me. The strength of heart you gave them, give me also. Ya Allah, I'm not facing the same enemy. I've got a different enemy in front of me. But grant me and bless me with the qualities you've blessed those men. Those true rijal and men of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is my and your responsibility? Truce, treaty, peace, ceasefire, call it what? What's my and your responsibility? In every situation, we can thank Allah and say, Lakal. In every situation, we find guidance, hidayat from the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we look in the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a treaty that was signed. Sulhul Hudaybiyah, the treaty of Hudaybiyah, the truce of Hudaybiyah. Hudaybiyah because was the name of the area. Every single of those clauses that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam signed were in the disadvantage of the Muslims. It was against them. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, anything to save the blood of the ummah, we'll sign it. To revere and to honor the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going to sign it. It's okay, it's fine. Let's sign all of the clauses, right? First clause, that hat in hand, drop our arms, we're not going to be fighting for 10 years. Nabi Sam says, no problem, we were not going to be fighting. 10 years, sign it. We are not trigger happy. We are not people that love to kill. We're not a people that are made up by blood. We don't like to see blood shedding. If we have to study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, contrary to what we feed ourselves, let's not say we've been gullible. If you want to read the news, you're opting to feed it to yourself. Read Quran and Sunnah and feed it to yourself. You get strength. You get courage. You become strong in your iman. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Battle of Badr, second Hijri. How many Muslims? 313 Sahaba go out for the battle. Yes, the number of Muslims would have been more. 313 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Next year, Battle of Uhud, 3 Hijri. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, approximately 1,000. There was some debate. Munafiqun left, 700 left. Let's say 1,000. 1 year, 313, then it goes to 1,000. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes for the treaty of Hudaybiyah, meaning going towards Makkah, Mukarramah. 6th year of Hijri, 1,400 with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we look, we see a gradual increase in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all of those years were years of skirmish, of involvement in the battlefield with the kuffar who are trying to attack the Muslim. Badr, Uhud, Khandak, there's always a battle that is being fought. Sulhul Hudaybiyah is signed in 6th year of Hijri. A matter of 2 years, from 2nd Hijri, 313, 6th Hijri, 4 years later, we only 2 years no war. 7th Hijri, 8th Hijri, Fathu Makkah takes place. The conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. How many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? 10,000 Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and others had become Muslim. So what was it that spiraled the number of Sahaba radiallahu anhum in 2 years when we're not fighting? Which means Islam spread with peace and not the sword. When there was no fighting, the number increases from 1,406 Hijri to 10,008 Hijri to approximately 120,000 in the 10th year of Hijri. And there was no war. And people were accepting the deen of Islam. There was peace. There was a treaty in place that we will not be fighting. So how did Islam really spread? When there was a time of the truce and the treaty, that's the time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dispatched the Sahaba radiallahu anhum individually, collectively, in groups, in numbers, in smaller groups, to the different parts of the then world, to interact with the population of the then world. When they interacted with the true Muslim, did they become Muslim? Sahaba radiallahu anhum were walking the talk. They actually were walking the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was their da'wat? Kunu mithlana. Oh people, become like us. We are a people that we live by our words. When we say something and we sign, we would live to it. Through every letter of it, we will make sure we abide by it. Whatever was the treaty and the clause, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam signs the treaty of Hudaybiyah. This is how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so adhering to the clause of the treaty with Kufar. Point to contemplate for every one of us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is signing a treaty with the kafir, a non-Muslim. And the treaty says, if any Muslim embraces any kafir embraces the deen of Islam, he will have to be returned back to the kufar. You cannot entertain him. And if any Muslim wants to renegade, he wants to become a murtad, then he will become a murtad and remain a kafir. Now that's a disadvantage. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, sign it. It's okay, we'll sign it. The treaty is still being drawn. The clauses are still being written. We haven't yet concluded and shaken hands. Abu Jandal radiallahu anhu comes. He's got chains, shackles. And he comes and he throws himself in front of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I become Muslim. I want to join your ranks. Please protect me and help me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Suhail, please, please. We haven't yet concluded on the deal. Can this be one person, I take him with me? He says, never. So he says, okay, but we haven't signed the treaty, we haven't yet signed, it's only applicable when it's signed. He says, no, then there is no treaty. So Nabi Sam says, Abu Jandal, I cannot entertain this. You will have to go back. Allah will make a way out for you, inshallah. We make dua, adopt taqwa, be patient, Allah will open up the way for you. You go back, but I have to abide by my word, and I'm going to sign this treaty. I'm sorry, Abu Jandal. So the treaty is signed. Nabi Sam is signing a treaty with the kafir. He tells the Muslim, you'll have to go back. Allah will create some way, you'll come back to us. Eventually, Abu Basir, radiallahu anhu, becomes a sahabi. He runs away and he comes to Medina, Tayyiba. Kufar sent two people to apprehend him. He's sitting in the majlis with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid. The two kufar come. You say, Ya Rasulallah, you know there's a treaty in place. Well, this person cannot be entertained. You have to return him back to Makkah Mukarramah. Nabi Sam looks at him. Abu Basir, this is beyond me. Allah accept your iman, but you'll have to go. So they take him. As they are leaving, something transpires. What he does is that he plays a game with them. And he tells one of them, another lesson, he tells one of them, you know the sword of yours, it looks lovely, man. Where you got it from? So he explains and he profiles his sword. He says, I bought it from here and I tried it, it's tested and it's so sharp and it works so good. He says, wow man, that really looks, you know, it looks wow, your sword. can I just have a look at it? He says, by all means, have a look. So he gives it to Abu Basir. Abu Basir takes that same sword and he kills that person, that kafir. The other person needs to run for safety. So the lesson, how did Abu Basir overcome his enemy? He put pride in his head. He said, your sword best, I haven't seen a sword like this. When pride comes into us, we're gonna drop. We'll kill ourselves with pride. Shaitan will easily walk on top of us when pride comes. So he defeated him. Only by instilling pride, you've got the best sword. Now his partner runs. He needs to run for safety. He's looking for safety. Where does he run? Imagine a kafir running to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He runs in the masjid, panting. Ya Muhammad, Muhammad. Nabi sallam says, what happened? He says, I'm dead. He says, what you mean you're dead? You're alive. He says, my partner has been killed. I think so. I'm also going to die. But I came to ask you for safety. He says, definitely. What happened? Imagine kafir coming to Nabi sallam, please help me. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, honest, true to the treaty. He says, Abu Basir, please leave this person. Let him go back. Don't interfere with him. No kafir, kill him. Leave him. Abu Basir, but you cannot stay here. Whatever be the case, you cannot stay. He goes and he stays on a coastal route out of Madinah Tayyibah. Nabi sallam says, I've signed a treaty with the kafir. I cannot go against the treaty. Allah give all of us tawfiq, businessmen. Allah give all of us tawfiq, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we be true to the treaty we sign with Muslim. We signing business treaties with Muslims, deal with a Muslim. How do you go against it? How do you snooker your Muslim brother? How do you speak lie against your own Muslim brother? We are only shooting ourselves in the foot and wishing and dreaming for the victory of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. All we are asking is, in the time of the treaty, lesson number one, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was true to his word with the kafir. Allah give us tawfiq and the ability we be true to our word with Allah. When I said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it means Allah, I believe you are the greatest and I'll stand in front of you for 5 times a day. It's not difficult. 5 times I'll stand in front of you. I'm standing in my shop, I'm standing in my profession. For how many hours of the day? How can I not come for 5 times a day? Oh my Allah, I pledge I will come inshallah. Let's pledge to Allah that we are going to be true soldiers for the deen of Allah. As of the next salah, we will be in the masjid for every salah inshallah. Allah give all of us tawfiq. We all weak. We slip, we fall. We get tired, we get lazy. This is normal. But the routine of it, a strong man, when he falls, he stands up. Doesn't stay down, he'll stand up again. So Nabi Sam being true in the treaty. Number two is that we have to walk the akhlaq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have to start displaying the character of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One of the countries in the December holidays, one person came to the institute and says that I want to embrace the deen of Islam. So Mulana wasn't around, they gave a phone call. Eventually whoever was, they had to entertain the brother and accept the shahada, and the person became a Muslim. He recited the shahada. So one of the brothers, Mulana, eventually he phoned him and he said, I need to meet with you. Apologies, I was not around. He came back, he met with Sheikh and Mulana. And Mulana, he said, what brings you to the deen of Islam? How do you become a Muslim? He says, I'm a kafir and I work for a certain business. A Muslim client came in, we did the deal, I was at fault. Muslim client came in, I was at fault. But he comforts me by saying, don't worry brother, don't worry. It's all okay, it's fine. I'm not going to take you to management, I don't need a voucher, I don't need anything extra, I'm not going to complain. Whatever you do, just quickly sort it out, as long as it all goes well. He says, had it been anyone else, I was mincemeat. I would have lost my job. But when he said it, I was intrigued, who's this man? So I asked him, why do you do that? He says, because my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught me about it. He says, who is that, your beloved? So he gave him a book of seerah. He started reading seerah. He says, I want to become a Muslim. Person becomes Muslim. That's all. Interacted as a Muslim with akhlaq, person becomes a Muslim. Last week in one of the masajid, brother comes and he says, I want to embrace the deen of Islam. Just before the Jumu'ah Salah, Shahada was taken. So we asked Mawlana why. Mawlana explained why he became a Muslim. He says, all he did was started reading Quran Sharif. He started reading Quran Sharif. He came to approximately the fifth or seventh juz of the Quran. He says, this has to be trying to become a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need me and you. The train of Islam is moving. People are going to hop on. People are going to read Jannah. We have to become the reason for people embracing the deen of Islam. And not a barrier from people embracing the deen of Islam. Allah give us tawfiq. Two things we said in Sulh Hudaybiyah. Number one, let's be true to our word. One is the pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our business dealings and everything else in our mandate activities of life. Number two is with our akhlaq, we try and conquer the hearts of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All and sundry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant tawfiq to every one of us. Remove the difficulties of the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyone's in any difficulties, Allah remove the difficulties, grant us ease, grant us comfort, grant us the coolness of our eyes in our children, in our parents, those that are sick and ailing, grant them complete shifa. Those that require help and assistance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come to their help, and assistance, remove the difficulties of the entire ummah. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانه وتعالى.